read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
It's 11:30 and we've done most of the show, but I still have enough in me to harness the just overall joy that is Kira Wisner. I the boundless excitement that comes that exudes from Kira and from our other wonderful bookseller Paul Thompson. Let me introduce them to you proper like. We have two wonderful booksellers from two bookstores, as we do each and every week. These are booksellers who join us to tell us what's going on, tell us what's out there, tell us what's happening, and new books, books that are coming soon, and things that should be on our radar, perhaps, if we are so inclined. This morning, we welcome Paul Thompson from Northshire Bookstore, hailing from Manchester Center, Vermont, although they also have a store in Saratoga Springs, New York. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Welcome. First time on the show.
First time.
It's a pleasure to welcome you. Thank you very much. You're in good hands.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very nice to have you with us. And Kira Wisner is here. Kira is from Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook, and thank you very much for being. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Me too. I love being here.
All right, Paul, you got some political books to start us off with.
Yes, I guess everybody's been dealing with the past month of like total chaos and wildness, and I have been doom scrolling like constantly, and so I needed some perspective and how to like understand our current moment in politics and not get overwhelmed. And so I picked out a couple of books. One was Robert Kagan's Rebellion, how anti-liberalism is tearing America apart again, which is
it's a sequel.
Yeah, it's about how there's been this movement in America that's always been there, but that's this anti-liberal movement, and like Donald Trump is in some ways an outgrowth of that movement. You know, you can talk about like in the South in the 19th century and in, you know, slavery and Jim Crow, how there was always this current between liberals and people who wanted a more free and equal society and people who wanted a more hierarchical society, and how there's been this tension between those people. And this goes through the history of that, and then also deals with what you can do about it and how you can think about it and how you can be more positive and what kind of things you can do to like be, you know, to improve the situation. Yeah.
Rebellion is the name of the book. And Robert Kagan is a senior fellow at Brookings Institution. So good stuff. Next.
So the other one I picked out that was also in a similar area in terms of politics was Fareed Zakaria's new book, Age of Revolutions, Progress and Backlash from 1600 to the Present. It deals with a similar kind of concept in that it deals with the tensions between liberalism and anti-liberalism or illiberalism. And so he goes back and looks at the Dutch Revolution and the Glorious Revolution in England and how those were particular to their place and time and how that developed the Western liberalism, and then deals with the Industrial Revolution in both Britain and America, and then talks about how we're undergoing a revolution right now in terms of our globalization and our current moment of like total just upheaval in terms of identity and our economic changes and things like that. So it's a really good overview of how to think about the current moment and how to feel positive.
Get us out of the mess.
Yeah, exactly. So they help me get a bigger perspective on like our current moment and not be so overwhelmed.
Fareed Zakaria is the author of Age of Revolutions. All right, Kara.
All right, let's go adjacent in a way, like political, but then to, let's say, familial and parenting-wise. And I've been in a very interesting position. I have two daughters, and they're both very different, and I have parented them similarly when necessary and different when necessary. And that's always a point of interest to either one of them. And what I have now is my older daughter who's being a camp counselor and is encountering different children with different personalities and realizing that, you know, while you're counseling or parenting, that's an actual real thing. Like, you do things differently, you know, based on who you're interacting with.
Sure.
And so I brought the book Good Inside by Dr. Becky Kennedy. She's super fun on Instagram and really smart and operates, I think, from a very similar premise that I did as a parent, that, like, there's so much good and you're bringing it out and you just have to look for all those ways of how to get it out of everybody and how to put people in places where they can grow and feel strong about the choices they're making and kind of scaffolding, which is almost the same way I taught. Like, you kind of scaffold the moments of growth as opposed to doing it for them. And so this is a great book for anybody who is either teaching or being a counselor or being a parent. And she's also fun to follow on Instagram.
Good Inside by Dr. Becky Kennedy. All right, also.
All right, let's also look at a really wonderful new novel that is like a definite coming of age, deals with like some characters who are gay and characters who are not gay, so you've got that kind of great element. It's by August Thompson. It's called Anyone's Ghost. He actually wrote it very close to Millbrook, partially during COVID in Wissahick. And it is a beautiful story of a boy who goes to Maine for the summer. That's where his dad is. His parents are split up. And he meets somebody, and they have just a summer together where they're working together. And they just share a very, very intense friendship. And then over the years, they see each other and not in different contexts. And you kind of look at how they're both struggling, some because of family stuff, some because of some addiction stuff. But he really taps into some really beautiful first feelings of friendship, like non-sexual in a way, and also then and feelings how they get complicated with those intense friendships over time. And it's really beautiful. And so that's
Anyone's Ghost by August Thompson. All right. Did you have one more in that?
Yeah,
I
think so. Again, this idea of like who we are and how we interact with the world, which is, I guess, what every book is about, let's say. Sandwich by Catherine Newman.
That's right.
They're all about the same thing. I've taken to saying that occasionally. Catherine Newman is smart and funny and writes a lot about parenting in a nonfiction way. And she's written books for young people. And she's written another novel, which is We All Want Impossible Things, which I love so much. And this is a book called Sandwich. It taps into a family story with older kids of this generation, also the married couple who are then dealing with parents and parents who are dealing with their own like medical things. And it's this kind of sort of it's sandwiched in Cape Cod, but it's also, I think, this idea of being sandwiched between these two generations and also kind of sort of yourself. And she just, from the tiny little funny things she writes about, like with wet towels and being on vacation with people and sharing spaces, to just the big problems of parents aging and how you find out about those things, what they hide from you, what they don't, and then kids and the kinds of things they say and the kinds of ways they, you know, have us step up as parents into their ideology now. Just she kind of sort of hits it all perfectly and it's funny and great.
Catherine Newman is the author of Sandwich. Paul.
So I have a couple of books by Adam Gidwitz. I just started working on the kids floor. And this one, The Inquisitor's Tale or The Three Magical Children and Their Holy Dog, is illuminated. And it's like it's sort of told in the style of the Canterbury Tales.
Okay.
And so the Inquisitors is one of the people at the inn who are telling the tales about these three children and their dog that was killed after saving a baby from death. They thought they had killed the dog had killed the baby, but in fact he was saving it from a snake. So it comes back to life and they go through this massive adventure, and it's just really funny and exciting. and kids will love it. And I just I found it to be one of the best books that I'd read in that middle child area in the past like decade. Mm. I just loved it.
Great
so much.
Illustration.
Can I do a fun fact?
Yeah.
So I know that Adam Gibbons, I think, worked really hard to get Hatem Ali to be the illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's illustrated also right in that way of the text of that time period where the illustrations are along the sides of the pages.
Right. It's so cool.
Magical.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really neat. The Inquisitor's Tale or The Three Magical Children and Their Holy Dog. Excellent.
And so another one that I by Gidwitz that he just came out with was called Max in the House of Spies, and it's a tale of World War II. And then in this one, the kid Max lives in Germany and comes to England during the Kinder transport. And as he's on the ship, he notices that there are two fellas who've hitched a ride, these invisible creatures. One's a Dybbuk and one's a kobold, and they help him in his life in England, where he lives with a family that takes him in, and he falls in with spies, and it's just super exciting and fun. And also, both of these books deal with issues related to Jewish life and persecution, and it's just really they deal with serious issues that are really profound, but he does it in such a humorous way that it doesn't feel overwhelming to the kid that would be reading it, and so I just loved this one as well.
Yeah,
it is the brand new one is Max in the House of Spies, a tale of World War II. Very cool stuff.
And I would chime in and say the audiobook for that is great. I listened to it. And
oh, good.
The you know, it's a kind of like the angel and the devil characters on his shoulders, and they do great, like fun, really voices, and it's really fun.
I live that every day. Okay, go ahead.
So as a responsible bookseller.
Who do they have voicing their devils and angels?
I realized that I had not spoken about my husband who wrote, he has two YA books, one still in print called Spanking Shakespeare, super fun. And I really haven't talked about it. And I think because it's like that thing where you don't always want to talk about the thing that's the person you don't want anyone to think you're just saying it because he's your husband. But he has written, it was published in 1992, a fantastic YA novel. It is great for anybody kind of 13 and up. It's super fun, I think, for moms who have boys, who are teenage boys, and I guess for anybody who's ever been a teenage boy, so the two of you, that's, you know, I've got my eye out. But it's called Spanking Shakespeare. It's about a boy named Shakespeare who has kind of been a little bit spanked around by life, and it's also like a coming of age. He is, you know, has a crush on a girl.
Is he in theater or something?
He's not, but his parents have named him Shakespeare for a number of like fairly embarrassing reasons. And it's just a really fun, funny book. And I think also in this political upheaval time, this idea to kind of escape into a book that is fun and funny is that. And so I thought to myself, I should talk about that one.
Spanking Shakespeare by Jake Wisner. All right. Excellent. Good stuff. Paul.
So I've got one that I listened to, the audiobook version of Tom Lake by Ann Patchett, and it was read by Meryl Streep, boy, it was the best audiobook I've ever listened to.
It's really good.
And so this is the story of a woman who lives in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, and she lives on a cherry orchard, and she's talking to her three daughters during the pandemic and telling her story about how she fell in love with this famous actor at a summer stock theater, and her time doing the play Our Town, and she's sort of done Our Town throughout her acting life, and so a lot of the stuff is, I mean, a lot of the themes of the book are dealing with Thornton Wilder and Our Town, and as somebody who was an actor, I just found it wonderful to listen to Meryl Streep, who's, you know, does all the voices and is just fantastic. And so, like, I really, really love the audiobook version of this one.
Tom Lake, it was one of my favorite novels of last year. Mm-hmm. Ann Patchett is an absolute delight. And I'm a huge Our Town fan. And it was, it's a COVID novel ish. And, but just a really wonderful, wonderful book. And agreed, the narration by Meryl Streep is really special.
Yeah,
I didn't listen to it. I read it and also just very much just enjoyed being in that time in that place, sitting and talking. It felt like being in someone's living room.
Right. So good.
She owns a bookstore in Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm from. And
yes.
She,
is that Parnassus?
Yeah.
Yes, Parnassus Books. Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff. All right, next up.
I'll do a book called Sipsworth by Simon Van Bowie, let's say because also right here on the cover, Ann Patchett. I loved it. So
right.
There you go. If Ann Patchett
I just got
loved
that
it.
One from my mom. I'm very excited.
It's lovely. Excited it's a lovely story with an older woman and a mouse. It's kind of a friendship story between an old woman and a mouse, but again, like in a different way of this idea of being sandwiched between all these generations. She's at the very, very end.
Is it a holy mouse?
And she's looking back, you know, kind of looking back on her life. You're not sure. There's some things that she hasn't quite explained in the beginning of the book that she alludes to. And
he came and spoke at our book book festival this May. So
he's supposed to be really great. And this is a really it's like a beautiful novel. It's a kind of friendship story. There's some stuff goes on. There's some medical stuff.
Oh, yeah, he did. I had dinner with him. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I missed out on that one. Sorry. I apologize.
I've heard he's great. So it's just very, very lovely.
Good stuff. All right. Next.
So the book that I want to talk about next is by a Welsh author named Carice Davies. It's called Clear. It takes place in the Scottish islands, the Orkneys, during the 19th century. Clearances of those islands by the landlords. And so this Presbyterian preacher goes to one of these islands to remove the last resident of that island who doesn't speak, you know, English, who has his own language, who lives with a cow. He's very isolated and it's really cool. And so like he has a fall, the preacher has a fall and like gets hurt. And so he has to be nursed back to health by the man who lives on the island. And it's such a good novel. There's some LGBT themes that I probably shouldn't give away, but it's really just great. And I absolutely loved it.
You could just tell from the cover that it's either Irish or Scottish. Mm. It's Scottish.
It's Scottish.
Carice Davies.
But she's Welsh.
Good stuff. Amazing. Yeah, born in Wales, but now lives in Edinburgh. The name of the book is Clear, and that looks amazing. Good stuff, published by Scribner. All right.
So I didn't bring it with me, but it reminds me, and we were talking in the green room about it, about a book called Whale Fall.
Oh.
Who's now, I've forgotten the author, sorry. But it also takes place on an island that's small, and it's people who come to the island to kind of interview the residents who live there. It's like obviously not so populated, also in Welsh, not everybody speaks English. Mm. And that I both read a little bit and listened to the audio. And because there's audio in the book where they are recording people's voices on like on record player technology, the audio is very special.
Elizabeth O'Connor. Elizabeth O'Connor is the name of the.
Is it a science fiction book? Because I think I remember seeing it in our store, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it's not. It's just kind of sort of straight historical fiction.
Oh, cool.
And beautiful.
Nice.
Can I cheat and talk about one more fast?
No, you're not cheating.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's go to this book called A Novel Love Story. Like romance novels are kind of sort of taking the world by storm. And I have a woman named Julianne who works for me who's really great at reading them and picking them out. And every once in a while she like says one, you know, suggests one to me. And this one is...
Can I just ask you something?
Yeah.
There was an article in the New York, I think it was the New York Times, about how like what romance novels to read that won't embarrass you. And I just thought that was like just by its...
Like that you're not
set up. It was like, just seems like, you know, you could proudly tell people you're reading romance. I was like, well, you don't have to answer to anybody. You can read whatever you want.
You can. And right. A lot of guys read romance. And
I have the next book that I'm going to talk about is a romance.
Romantasy.
So it's fantasy.
Oh,
romantic.
Oh, see,
I
love
great.
The riff. Okay, good stuff. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, all right.
So
the article bothered me, but go ahead.
Well, everyone should be reading what they enjoy, period, the end. And so this is called A Novel Love Story. It's by Ashley Poston, I'm sorry. I should have looked that up, and I did not. And it's basically a romance novel that involves romance novels and a fictional town, and it's a lot of kind of sort of reflective, fun stuff. But really, the characters blur the line between real and fictional, and it gives you, it's just very, you know, very light, very removed from our world in a way, except for all the feelings of love and attraction and affection and figuring out, you know, where you begin and where you end and where you join with someone else and where you set up boundaries and just, you know, relationship. I think we'll all be better at relationships if we keep reading more romance and romance novels and romanticy.
Here is the article. I slightly misrepresented it, but it's called Romance Bookstores Are Booming, Dishing All the Hot Stuff You Can Imagine. And the line was, bookstores once shunted romance novels to a shelf in the back, but with romance writers dominating the bestseller list, a network of independent bookstores are putting the romance face forward.
Oh, we moved it to a more prominent space in our store.
I saw that in Saratoga, too. Yes, you did. Yeah, that's good. Well,
we've had one, and we actually just switched it around, but more space, and it's fun. And they're great books. Red, White,
really
and Royal
fun.
Blue is my breakthrough romantasy book.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Romance
I thought
book,
about
I mean.
Reading that one. That one looked cool. It's like he's like a president's son. And
yeah.
It sounded really
I mean,
goofy,
people were going
fun.
On about it at the last
yes.
book expo. And
yep.
then I read it whenever it was, and I cried and loved
and it.
And
it was like turned into a show, too.
It was
right?
turned into a film, which yeah. is super cute.
Netflix. And there's a, he has a new book out, too, I believe. She?
They, I think.
They?
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, I think.
I don't know.
The
don't
new
know
Casey McQuiston.
There you go. Okay. Next up.
So this is another romanticy. It's called A Fate Inked in Blood. It's a really beautiful book. It's got these purple, you know, sort of blue, light turquoise edges to them. It's called. It's the first in a series called The Saga of the Unfated, and it's by Danielle L. Jensen, and it's set in Norse lands. And it uses a lot of Norse gods and myths. And she is the main character is a shield maiden who starts out as a fishwife, and she murders her husband and like you
a
know,
fishwife turned shield maiden.
It's really good. It's fun. And she has this banter with this the son of the Jarl and like how she has to, you know, like they have to do all this adventure stuff. He's assigned to protect her from death, and she has this special power that she can like touched by the gods, and she can keep everybody in the army protected. So she like touched by some shield god of some sort.
A Fate Inked in Blood, Saga of the Unfated, Book One. All right, we have 2 minutes.
Okay. Vast. So I have a book called The Architect and Designer Birthday Book. This was written as a COVID project, an Instagram project where like every day this guy named James Bieber, who's an architect, chose like some architect or designer or someone like that and like put up a picture and then wrote something about that person. So it's a really fun book because every time you pick it up, you can open up to your birthday and see what's your birthday?
December 31st.
Okay. Ooh, fun. That's easy.
I would imagine that's at the end of the book.
Look at that. It is. Last page. Selma Burke.
All right.
Ooh, who is a ceramicist. Look at that with her Booker T. Washington.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful head. Anyway.
Okay.
So it's really fun. It looks great. James is going to come to the farmer's market with us on Labor Day weekend. I have two great authors coming, him and Jesse Janowitz. Will be great. But this is a good gift. It's a great gift book if you have something because it feels very celebratory and there's 365 people to learn more about.
Oh, cool.
The Architect and Designer Birthday Book. All right. What else do you got?
I have Kissing Girls on Shabbat. This is one of those amazing memoirs about somebody who kind of grew up in a place that was small in terms of like what your options were, and a woman who just very much realized that like she loved women and that was not very possible in this Orthodox community, and she found her way to be able to leave that and to be a person in the world who's able to love who she wants and live with who she wants. And it's a really great memoir by Dr. Sarah Glass.
All right. You have 30 seconds.
All right. I have Ant and Bee books. Anybody who's learning to read this summer, I know there are a lot of kids who spend the summer kind of sort of learning to read. These Ant and Bee books are by Angela Banner. They were imported into the U.S. when I was a kid, and I had all of them, and then they disappeared for a while, but they are back. They've been back for a while, and so they do a really nice thing where they highlight a lot of the words in red, and they're lovely, and Ant and Bee, like, they do left and right. They do the kind dog. They count.
A-N-T and B-E-E.
We have them right at our registers. They're great.
Good stuff. Yeah, the perfect register books. All right, we're out of time. My thanks to both of you, both Kira Weisner. Also, thanks to Paul Thompson. You can find out more information by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, where there are links and also lists of from both booksellers. You two are great. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe,
Be
as
well.
Always.
Take care. Thanks, Paul. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.